Infowars.com/show.
Front lines of the information war. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, folks. By the way, I haven't plugged once today. It's very stupid of me. We only get support when you go to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. And, we have so many great reasons for you to go there and shop and get a fantastic product and help to keep us on the air. And I don't know. I was getting in arguments yesterday on X. It's Twitter drama. It's not important news, but it's interesting what people think about InfoWars. It's interesting the fantasies that they experience in their own heads about who we are and what we do. It's very strange. It's very strange. What I do is not all that complicated. I sit up here, I read the news, I show you videos, I take calls, I try to tell you the truth. And if you think that's valuable, I hope you can support us. We tell you exactly what's actually happening and try to discredit the lies and uplift the truth. And in exchange, we ask you go get a fantastic product at thealexjonesstore.com that you'll benefit from anyway. Very simple. Very, very simple. Meanwhile, everybody's got their own little pet theory about what we're really up to, what's really happening, who's really pulling the strings, where we really get our support. It's like, y'all, you know the court proceedings are public, right? You know that if you actually were curious about InfoWars, our entire, just everything about us has been, you know, literally adjudicated. You can find, and it's all public, it's all the evidence out there. It's public. If you want to go find anything about it, it's out there. You don't think that in their going through all of our finances with a fine-tooth comb, they would have discovered any sort of foreign investment, anything like that? It's interesting because I understand that almost every other right-wing outlet is corrupt or controlled or perverted in some way. InfoWars is as pure as the driven snow. I don't know how we could be any more pure. Just 100%. And I know people listening to me, I would think, understand that, because it's clear that people who don't like InfoWars literally have no idea who we are and what we do. But they don't like us. Oh, they're convinced that they're the authority on us. Never watched a show, and it's abundantly clear they've never watched a show. And then you've got other people, and just the reason this is in my mind is because there's this one comment in particular that was like something about InfoWars was only good while they were riding the MAGA train, and now that they can't, you know, milk that for all it's worth, then they're failing. And it's like, y'all, we are, first of all, more popular than we've ever been before, bigger than we've ever been, even though we've had a albatross around our neck, even though we've been weighed down, we've had like lead weights tied to our ankles for the last 5 years, we still are winning. I couldn't find it, but somebody posted a graph of Ben Shapiro's popularity on YouTube. It's gone completely down. Nobody watches him anymore. And this is a guy who's all, you know, sponsors and partnerships, and he's going on mainstream media, and YouTube is pushing his stuff, and they're still failing. InfoWars, they're stepping on our neck. They're kicking us off of all the platforms. We're still winning. We still succeed. We still thrive because we have this super secret weapon called the American people and thealexjonesstore.com. As long as the American people go to thealexjonesstore.com, or the people around the world go to thealexjonesstore.com for their free gift included in all orders, for their massive discounts, for the incredible products that you should be getting anyway, even if it's not from us. This stuff is really good. We just happen to have the best possible quality in the best possible prices. And you support us on top of it. But like, do people not know? Do we? And this is the thing. I don't like bragging, and I don't think people like hearing people bragging, but this isn't bragging. I literally feel like I have to explain to people who have this misconception about InfoWars. It's like, we've been around for 30 years. We were around for 20 years before Donald Trump even showed up on the scene. And Donald Trump was made by us, not the other way around. Alex Jones made Donald Trump, not vice versa. We were against the war in Iraq, and we were right. We were exposing COVID, and we were right. We were against transgenderism and identity politics long before these words even entered into the American vocabulary, and we were right. And we've been right every time, and we're right right now. So I don't know where this idea comes from that, like, I don't know, we're tied at the hip to MAGA or to Trump, but clearly it's people not watching the show. So thank you to everybody who actually does watch the show, who actually does understand where we're coming from and what we're doing here, and who supports us, because without you, we really will go away. We really will. And so the ball is in your court, folks. If you want us to stay on air, if you want us to be here to provide the platform that we do for the facts that we deliver, you got to go to thealexjonesstore.com. We have changed the world. We have permanently altered the landscape of information in America in a way that will never be reversed, never be undone, never be put back in the bottle, okay? And we will continue to do that. We will continue to be out on the forefront. And, you know, that's why I'm thinking about the three-party thing, because it's just obvious right now that we need something, that something needs to happen. I don't know if it's a third party or whatever else, but everybody on our side is sort of looking around going, okay, what's next? Because we've been betrayed by Trump. MAGA has been taken over by Israel and is no longer fit for purpose. The Republican Party is dependent entirely on out-of-touch boomers who are brainwashed daily by Fox News. So we need something new, and it sure as hell ain't communism. It sure as hell ain't socialism. We need to recapture the American spirit. I think everybody sort of gets that there's a big vacuum to be filled right now, and it needs to be us. It needs to be us to fill it. We just need to figure out what to fill it with. Is it a third party? Is it a grassroots movement? Is it a separatist movement? I don't know. I'm sort of open to anything, but we need to be thinking about this, and we need to be plotting the future, because if we don't, somebody else will. You don't seize the initiative, then you're operating on somebody else's script, and we don't really do that very much. Ben Shapiro is losing 20,000 subscribers from his YouTube channel each month, according to Social Blade. So again, these are people who, you know, claim that InfoWars has done literally more popular than ever before. It's like astonishing how, you know, successful we've been recently. Not that we get to enjoy that, because we're still under bankruptcy proceedings. That'll change soon, and then you'll really see the rocket take off. So anyway, I don't want to ramble too much, but, and again, not even to brag, but like, it's just, it's a bummer to know that the media campaigns, the smear campaigns against InfoWars have been so effective with many people on the right as well, who again, just say things that just make it clear that they are just completely ignorant of InfoWars. And the reason why it's like sticking with me is because there's stuff like, there was a guy yesterday who was like, said something about, well, first of all, there was somebody that was like, we know what's really happening. Every segment you do is scripted. Every caller is an actor. And it's like, thank you for the compliment. Thank you. You know, I don't know if it's really that convincing. Do you think that this is scripted? Do you think that I'm not just talking extemporaneously here? Do you think there's a teleprompter? Do you think that we even have time to script stuff? I mean, the crew just comes in and delivers me stories and I read them live on air. Like, it's just all straight up front. So this is the thing. I'm just like, I don't even know how they would come up with this idea. It's all scripted, the caller. Like, okay, if you think the callers are fake, why don't you call in? Why don't I give out the number and you can call in and you can see for yourself if we screen callers or if we tell people what to say. You can do it yourself. You can find all this stuff of yourself. This is the strange part, is people just are ignorant, and then they just fill up the vacuum of their ignorance with fantasy and then walk around telling their fantasy as if it's real. Yeah, it's crazy. That's stuff like that. There's another guy talking about, he's like, InfoWars debates, they saying something about how we like rig debates. I'm like, we don't even have debates. What are you talking about? Occasionally, we'll you know, have an interview that's sort of framed as a debate. But, you know, I think we've had maybe one or two actual debates with, like, Destiny. But, like, even how, you know, it wasn't. But it's just funny because it's like you're claiming that we are corrupt in doing something that we don't even do the thing. We don't have debate. What are you talking about? We should have more debates. We will have more debates. But it's just funny to me that people are like, InfoWars rigs their debates. We don't even do debates. What are you talking about? What? Like, I did the flat earth debate, but that was just me and him. Like, there was no moderator, and I gave him plenty of time. I treated him as well as anybody could ask, right? So anyway, it's frustrating being, like, literally the only outlet that exists that is just totally unencumbered by any ulterior motive or pressure or anything. And it's just me and you. You know, it's me and the audience, and I just try to tell you the truth because I assume that's what you want. I assume you don't want me lying to you about things that make you feel good, right? I assume that the value I add is that I can tell you the truth and have a platform to tell a truth that nobody else will tell, even if it's obvious, right? I don't know. It's all very strange. It's all very strange. Yeah, quarter. Whatever. I don't want to get into Twitter drama. It doesn't actually mean anything, but it is sort of indicative of the wider delusions at play. That one was a weird one. I literally invite the guy on to debate, and he thinks I'm attacking him. I'm like, what? It's weird. Rex wants to debate quartering, and I'm like, I'll host quartering, you in? And he's just like, why are you attacking me? I was like, okay, man. Sorry. Sensitive boy. Okay. I do have more to talk about. I have infinite things to talk about when it comes to Iran, but I want to move on. But at the same time, it's like involved in everything else, right? So, you know, I've got things like this. Clip 41 here. This is Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, talking about, you know, why Iran is so bad, why it's worth it to go to war with them, you know, having the classic and oft-repeated example of the fact that Iran, just like Hamas, by the way, you know, doesn't spend money on their people. They spend money on war and how tragic and bad and evil that is. That's why we're at war with them. Let's listen to Marco Rubio say it.
And at the end of the day, I think that if there are people in Iran who now, given everything that's happened, are willing to move in a different direction for their country, that would be great. Imagine an Iran that instead of spending their wealth, billions of dollars supporting terrorists or weapons, had spent that money helping the people of Iran, you'd have a much different country. So we are always hopeful that that would exist over there.
Good point. It's a good point. It's very interesting. You know, these evil Iranians spending money on war rather than their own people. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to war with somebody like that? Anyway, here's Trump yesterday.
Don't send any money for daycare because the United States can't take care of daycare.
Oh, right.
That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. You got to let a state take care of daycare, and they should pay for it, too. They should pay. They have to raise their taxes, but they should pay for it. And we could lower our taxes a little bit to them to make up. But it's not possible for us to take care of daycare, Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things. They can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection. We have to guard the country. But all these little things, all these little scams that have taken place, you have to let states take care of them, Russell, and you have to do it.
You know, like, there's a couple things about it. It's like, okay, so we're going to war with Iran because they're so evil because they spend money on war and not their people. Only we can't spend money on our people because we have to spend money on the war against Iran. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. I also, you know, my interpretation of what he just said was he's like, it shouldn't be the federal government's job to take care of it. It absolutely is the federal government's job to take care of it, not to provide daycare, but to punish the people scamming the daycare centers. What's happening right here is, like, does he not know this? There's a story today about California, but like Minnesota is the obvious example. But the state employees are the ones doing the fraud. They're the ones doing the fraud. So it seems like this is Trump getting frustrated at the fact that people are bugging his DOJ to go after fraud. That was my interpretation of his statement right there. I don't even think that was about him being like, we don't want to pay for daycare. I think it's people going, hey, this fraud is destroying our country. And he's going, that's up to the states to do. I'm starting wars with Iran. I'm spending $200 billion to make Iran more dangerous, okay? I don't have time to go after fraud. Like, is my obligation as the head law enforcement chief executive of the country? Am I wrong? Because, like, originally when I watched that clip, all I saw was the, you know, we're not paying for daycare part. But I don't think he was talking about paying for daycare there. He's talking about it's not the federal government's job to stop states from being defrauded. But when you're in Minnesota and the governor is involved and the attorney general, who would be the one at the state level to charge fraud, is in fact caught on hidden recording collaborating with the fraudsters and saying in no uncertain terms that he would make sure to stop the investigation into the fraudsters in exchange for support from the Somali community, that is a federal crime. Like, the federal government is now the superior authority that can come in and lay down the law. So, like, this is why nothing's getting done. So this is even, again, and, you know, Trump's made other statements. Like, they're like, yeah, we're going to have to get rid of all these, like, you know, good things for Americans because, you know, we want to focus on the war. And for some reason, they think this is like a midterm argument. They're like, for midterms, we're going to really promote the, you know, military funding side of things. And it's like, so again, ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. Oh, it's exactly the right amount. Providing universal child care would be $200 billion. Look at that. What do you know? What do you know? But of course, we could afford absolutely everything. I mean, we could live in paradise if we just enforced basic law and stopped ourselves from being just systematically bankrupted at every pass. And once again, is this not like, can we not make some agreements here? Can we not come to some understandings with the people across the aisle? I don't think it's the government's job to provide childcare. But tell you what, you want to have a childcare program similar to somewhere like Finland, right? You want to provide every new mother with a crib and the stuff she needs for the first year, you know, maybe a nurse that she can, you know, have at her beck and call to help her. Like, all right, tell you what, we'll provide basic child care is just a, you know, general service for the betterment of the society. Not my favorite thing, but I'm willing to accept that. In exchange, can we shut the border? Like, can we make these deals? Can these types of deals possibly be made? Do we have the ability to both support the American people and enforce American laws? Or are we stuck in the false dichotomy that says you either have to be a heartless warmonger or a bleeding heart retard liberal? Can we shatter this paradigm for once and all, please, for the love of God? For the sake of our country and the continuing existence of our people, can we do normal things? Just normal things. Starting a war in Iran with no purpose or end goal, that's not a normal thing to do. That's a very abnormal thing to do. What would be normal would be the government enforcing laws, the government maybe providing, you know, basic welfare for people actually in need. Can we, could we, is it possible that we could come together on this? Of course not. Why would it? Well, how could we? How could we when the left seems to see any vulnerability in our system as an excuse to just rob everyone and destroy everything? So, yeah, Trump says it's not possible for the U.S. to pay for Medicare, Medicaid, and daycare. We're fighting wars. But they're also not taking care of the veterans. They're also cutting off a lot of veteran benefits right now. So they'll get people injured or killed in the war, and then they'll be on their own because we just don't have money to deal with the consequences of our actions. So again, I mean, it's just, it's all tied in together. Because we have you know, what's going on in California with just massive, unrelenting, and outrageous fraud. Gavin Newsom's empire of fraud. The roads are crumbling. Mismanaged wildfires have turned neighborhoods into ash. Drug addiction and homelessness have metastasized, turning parts of Los Angeles and San Francisco into no-go zones. And the cost of living crisis is pricing middle-class taxpayers out of basic necessities like groceries and gas. Even as the state spends billions on welfare programs that never seem to lift anyone out of poverty. Californians are beginning to ask, where is all this money going? On paper, it funds hospitals, universities, schools, prisons, infrastructure, and other public services. But beneath the surface, something else is happening that California Governor Gavin Newsom does not want you to see. Massive, systemic, brazen fraud. We conducted interviews with public officials, fraud experts, and political figures. We reviewed hundreds of pages of government reports, state audits, criminal indictments, and other public records on California fraud, from unemployment insurance to Medicaid to failed homelessness initiatives and welfare programs. Seemingly every state program has been compromised by criminals. The best estimate suggests that, on the governor's watch, fraudsters, scammers, and organized crime rings have stolen at least $180 billion from taxpayers. Welcome to Gavin Newsom's empire of fraud. And it goes on to explain that the people who are committing this fraud are just the very people who are in charge of the programs. So, of course, they're not going to actually do anything about it. That's why we need the government, federal government, to step in and hold these people to account. But we won't. So it'll just keep going. And I guess we'll be outraged about it. And occasionally one fraudster might be arrested and they'll, you know, have to return 1/100th of the money they stole. Slap on the wrist. You're free to go. That's basically where we're at. And it is a very, very damaging thing. The problem is that even when we're being robbed to no end, even when our government is basically entirely designed just to rob from the rich and give to the poor, and not in a beneficent way, I should say, rob from the productive and give to the unproductive, it's not good enough, and it will never be good enough for the lefties. Let's go to clip number 16, where we can see Zoram Mamdani being consumed by his own revolution. Let's watch.
We all voted for you because you promised to stand with working people and end the abusive 24-hour workday.
We have to end the 24-hour workday.
Mamdani, cumple tu promesa.
Zoram, it is now week 3 of home care workers sitting in. Why have you said nothing?
Instead, you're parroting the racist, sexist lie that immigrant women choose 24-hour workdays.
No! Mamdani, come outside!
So they get paid to stay home. There's no 24-hour workday. This is subsidies that says that if you have an elderly person in your home, you can be paid to watch them and provide elder care. And so they basically want more money for that. It'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. It'll never be good enough because these people are awful. Let's go to clip number 39. Here's the decent people that this all falls down to. Let's watch.
I feel like only in America can you need medical assistance that you can't afford to get. And in order to get government help, you have to make under a certain amount. So if you're someone who's like makes $60,000 for it to get your, if I quit my job and I go work for McDonald's, I can live off the government and then she can have the help that she needs. Make it make sense. Make it make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But it's set up that way. $60,000. She says she makes $60,000 a year. It's not easy to survive on $60,000 a year with a family in an American city. She's not rolling in the dough. She is lower, barely middle income in America, which means she gets screwed by absolutely everybody in every different way. The rich get all the subsidy they can handle through their corporate cronyism. The poor get everything paid for. Don't have to do anything to supply it. It's the decent, normal, productive, average American that is constantly screwed from every direction, on purpose, by design, because they hate us. It's not complicated.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best
green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you